Hello, and welcome to the Screamcast, a slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga, and today we're discussing Season 1, Episode 9 of Scream Queens, entitled Ghost Stories.
Ooh, this week it works for me to be spooky.
I was about to be like, damn it, Dan, but no, I guess it's fine.
Spoiler warning for the ghost story. Yep. Spoiler, we're going to be talking about this episode.
Oh, God.
I mean, I don't even know if spoiler warnings are necessary. I don't know why someone would click on an episode that says ghost stories.
That's something that's always confused me, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
it's always good to cover your bases
where spoilers are concerned. I don't want us to be getting tweets being like, you spoiled me. It's like, well, maybe if that's what we get known for, spoiler-free spoilers.
What did you think of this episode overall?
I liked it a lot more than a lot of the episodes.
Mm.
I would put it as maybe my third favorite.
Okay.
It had a lot of great moments, especially Chad moments.
Yeah.
It's probably the best Chad episode in a long time.
In a while, yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely liked him in the third part of the Halloween episodes, but yeah, last couple of weeks has been minimal Chad, and it was a good Chad week. It is an interesting one to talk about because I really liked it on my first watch, and I do feel like this show almost just is not a great show all the time to rewatch, so we always rewatch it to take notes so that we can do the podcast, but like on my second viewing, I was like, a lot of this stuff isn't hitting for me as well as it did the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good episode. I think a lot is revealed. I think it, you know, the plot thickens in a lot of ways, a lot of deaths we think happen. It's, you know, you never know with this type of show. But yeah, so it's definitely a lot of forward momentum, a lot of fun moments, but I think a lot of the comedy didn't hit for me quite as well on my rewatch. But it's still definitely a fun episode, and I did like a lot of Chad stuff. I liked the Boone stuff. And actually, number 5 had a lot of funny little moments for me, too.
Oh, number 5. This was probably her best episode
in
ages, where she became even more of herself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they've set up this character, and we've been wondering, like, why would Abigail Breslin sign on for this show, given what she's given? But
yeah.
I can see the appeal of this character.
Yeah. And it's definitely, like, I'm getting more and more, you know, excited that we're heading towards the end, that all these little pieces are coming together. And
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right.
Oh my gosh, only 3 episodes. Well, 4 episodes, 3 viewings left.
Wow, it's going to be done before we know it.
All of our listeners are going to miss us, right?
Well, hopefully they will follow us into whatever our next endeavor may be. Well, I mean, we will be talking about Scream Season 2 whenever that happens, but
And the movie podcast.
Yeah.
If I don't
fall asleep in the middle of Scream 3.
So, eventually we will do the Scream 3.
Alright, so Ryan Murphy wrote this episode. Doesn't really surprise me, very Murphy-y. And again, the ratings are not superb, 2.37.
Yeah. Just, it's going down weekly. It's hovering around
2.5, yeah.
But this isn't promising.
Yeah, I'm getting sad. But the good thing with a show like this is even if it does get canceled, we'll get a complete story.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But Chad Radwell. Chad Radwell, man. You can't go away from my television ever.
What is this actor's name? I feel so bad.
Glenn Powell, right.
Yeah. I really like his acting, but now I just want this character all the time.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm sure he's a great actor and he's performing it well, but I don't know that it would be the same if he was playing a different character. So,
Yeah.
All right, we're going chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away, Miss Olga.
Well, the episode starts off with Boone a la Joaquin Phoenix talking to the other Red Devil about how they're planning on taking out Gigi.
Yeah. And he says something to the effect of, like, it's all about you and me, like, it's, you know, who cares about her. It's an interesting phone call, and, you know, we'll get more and more about who this other potential,
the Red Devil
is.
On the other line.
Yeah.
At the other end of the line. And then we hear Boone also bringing up, hey, have you seen Zayday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then. Ooh. Was Dan correct? Dan was right. God damn it.
Well, I was sort of right. I mean, I definitely was pretty sure that it was going to be Boone that liked Zayday, but we had talked about, we were sort of hoping that he would be bi, and that's how they get around it, as opposed to the fake gay thing. Which is just, like, kind of a bummer, but...
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I guess it was funny.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the thing where he, like, was, like, trying to hit on Chad, like... That was all for just Gigi? Like,
yeah. All right. It's just to the alibi. The
alibi buddies.
I can't. It's a tongue twister. But I actually noticed this in this scene. You can see the fork mark, the scar from being stabbed. Which episode was that? Episode 4?
It was Pumpkin Pack? She comes back at the end of Pumpkin Pack, Zayday, I believe. It was in episode 4.
Okay, so
yeah, because she gets hit, she gets kidnapped at the end of... the Haunted House episode.
But no, that was 4, so she comes back.
I don't know. I'm forgetting episode numbers, but...
Whatever. Yeah. So from that episode where we've been wondering, and I had the long-held theory, up until this episode, I had thought it was the other Red Devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, the thing is, and we're going to talk about this more as we go on, I'm just really interested in whether this means that Zayday is completely out of the woods as far as any sort of suspicion. I think he's out of the woods as far as being a Red Devil.
I'm with you.
Yeah, like, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense. He doesn't talk to the other Red Devil about Zayday if the other Red Devil is Zayday. Like, doesn't make any sense.
No.
But I still feel like it's... The fact that if there is no reveal coming for Zayday, then I'm just like... Not a big Zayday fan, to be honest.
There just wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
And
she was pretty dumb in a lot of places where I assumed it was because she had ulterior motives, but, like...
Well, I mean, I feel like they kind of redeemed her with that last episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm iffy on her. She's not terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, I just wanted more. Yeah. It's just kind of... You'd expect more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Anyway, so Boone is caught by number 3, who is like, oh my god, you're a ghost. You're a ghost. You are...
Thus confirming in my brain that she is Brittany from Glee, because it's like, it's such a Brittany storyline that she would think someone's a ghost or whatever. But, yeah, 3, I mean, what the heck was that?
I don't know. I just saw something move and it scared the crap out of me.
Really? There's a ghost!
It's poor dead gay Boone.
I don't know if you guys heard that noise on the podcast, but we thought we saw something.
Oh my god.
There's a ghost.
I'm so scared.
The ghost of the podcast.
I'm gonna get strangle slashed. Where's the toilet paper? We'll get to that. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't even know what we're talking about, but, three, I wanted to talk, it is, so 3 doesn't get a ton to do this episode, but I did, like, what little she had was fun.
As usual.
Yeah.
Just, I love watching her face.
She really has been pretty underutilized since Sam's death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on?
Yeah. So, it's their last night at, the Kappa house.
Yeah.
And we are at a scene with, all of the Chanels. As usual, in the closet badge.
So I do want to talk about the fact that it is their last night, and that... So next week is Thanksgiving, so I assume that Chanel and Chad will be at Thanksgiving, and then are we going to be seeing Zayday's grandma, maybe, with Grace? Is that... Like, everybody's going to be separated now. Well, like, where's Abigail Breslin going to be?
We saw the promo, and they were in the Kappa house with Dean Munch and Wes and Grace.
They were? I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Sorry for spoiler... Again, we did the spoiler warning. It's like, who's promos? yeah, they're in the Kappa house having
Why
dinner.
Why would they be in the...
I literally have no idea.
Okay.
Quite literally have no clue. But I don't think I saw the rest... No, I think I did see number 3 there.
Weird.
So is number 5 there? Number 5 really wanted to leave.
Yeah, but then she came back. Confused. I don't know. Anyway. yes, moving on. Chanel has got the wishbone necklace.
Which means that eventually...
Marriage.
She will be Mrs. Chanel. Chad Radwell.
She'll be Chanel Radwell.
Chanel Chadalith. Radwell. Isn't that how it works? Chadalith. Is that how marriage works?
Obviously. Between you become a Chadalith.
Greeks and... I don't know. Anyway. Not Greeks as in, like, Grecians. Greeks as in frats and sororities.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That was confusing.
Sorry. Yeah, I realized my mistake afterwards. Anyway, so Hester is clearly upset. And,
Yeah, so they had the compliment night. It went down positively. Then they talk about how the compound that Chad is from is haunted.
Haunted by the ghost of his brother Thad's ex-girlfriend, Debbie, who didn't get a wishbone necklace and therefore hung herself. So now Mountain Dew turns to blood. So that was hilarious.
And I wonder how much that's set up for next week.
Exactly. That's the thing where...
Yeah, because I almost was like, why do we even have this in the notes? And I was like, well, this will probably come up.
We're going there. Yeah. But the thing that I'm wondering is the show isn't supernatural in nature.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I actually want to see...
Blood.
...the Radwells being haunted.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's a different show.
I'm kind of hoping that that was just a one-off thing. And
it was just like a joke, but we don't actually see it. Yeah, so that's why I brought it up.
Yeah. So we get the first, telling of why Chanel was in the sororities. She wants it, a hot rich husband.
Which, you know, clearly upsets the other Chanels. Mm. Then again, who cares about their feelings? yada, yada, yada. So then we go to Grace and Zayday's room, and Grace, like a total idiot, says that she wants to stay on campus because to hell with her father and his feelings, and he hurt her feelings, and blah, blah, blah. I'm Grace. I'm white.
Yeah, Grace was, after last week being a big Grace episode, I understand them needing to, like, pull back a little bit maybe this week, but, like, this was not the way to do it.
So stupid.
She was just, like, an idiot and a whiny.
Why couldn't she have just been like, yeah, I'm leaving with Pete to also, go to Pete's house? That's who we didn't see this episode. We didn't see Pete.
I, like, the more we don't see Pete, the more I'm like... Maybe Pete is the Red Devil, because it's like, man, we're really not seeing Pete. Like, of all the people, we're probably seeing him the least.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
Which is upsetting.
Yeah, well, maybe Earl Grey, but Earl Grey's dead now.
Well, yeah.
I think we can definitively say Earl Grey is dead.
I mean...
I would be very surprised.
Zayday cried about him.
Yeah.
Hopefully the coroner wasn't fooled this time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Zayday says, why don't you just come with me for Thanksgiving, meet my cousins, meet my grandma. Mm. I would have liked to see that way more than them staying in Kappa House.
Yeah. So I know we saw Wes, we saw Grace in Kappa?
Yeah.
Okay, I totally missed that somehow.
Yeah.
All right.
Why would the dean...
I don't know.
...be with Wes in Kappa House?
But at least maybe now we get some follow-up to the... Oh, they're probably going to be setting up Gigi. They're going to try to... Because that the way that that ends with Grace and the dean is they're like, oh, Gigi, blah, blah, blah. They probably, Grace says she'll stay to try to trap Gigi.
Oh, and yeah. So they... Well, we also see Gigi with the Red Devil.
Yeah.
And her being like, oh, this is not how I wanted to spend my Thanksgiving, or something like that.
Yeah.
We recommend everybody go watch the promo. Yeah. Or just bear with us as
promo
we discuss
cast.
It.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, so then we have a scene of the Chanel's bubble wrapping, all of the dresses with Denise, and number three, she admits that she saw poor dead gay Boone and his ghost.
I don't know why I really enjoy the repeated use of dead gay Boone.
It's so funny.
It's something about the way they said it, which is, I don't know, I'm a fan of dead gay Boone. I can't even say it.
Right, it's a tongue twister.
Dead gay Boone.
Even though he's neither dead nor gay.
Yet, anyway.
Well, now we keep calling... The episode is over, yes. And we keep calling him Dead Gay Boone. He's not gay.
Dead Straight Boone.
Dead Straight Boone.
Straight Dead.
Damn it, straight doesn't have Boone. The same ring to it.
Oh, man. Anyway, so then they get into these ghost stories because
they're so terrified, and Denise is convinced that this will help everybody calm down, and obviously it only succeeds for Hester.
Yeah.
I love this entire interaction, and... Like we were saying before, number five was being brilliant. Like, this is just making me more upset.
Yeah.
Great.
And so she keeps going on about, like, why is it in a bathroom? Am I, like, super reading into things that, like, all the talk about her vagina teeth or something?
I didn't connect it that way. I'm not saying that's not the reason, but I think it's just kind of funny that there are a lot of folklore related
to bathrooms.
Like, you go in the bathroom and you look in the mirror. You know, that was one of them, but it's just a fascination we have with something happening. Mm-hmm. Maybe because it's such a private place, like what we, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I like the repeated no more bathrooms. So
one thing I wanted to talk about here was, so number five is like one of the only people who's like, obviously ghosts don't exist. Like, it can't be Dead Gay Boone's ghost. Like, and how that's, if he was revealed, like, you would think
she was the sister.
Yeah, if she was the other Red Devil, you would think that she would want to corroborate the idea of it being a ghost and would not be arguing against that. I'm not saying this is, like, definitive proof that she's not the Red Devil or anything, but it did stick out to me as a potential hint.
Right. Definitely.
Let's talk a little bit more about these specific folklore things with the Kappa.
Right. So the Kappa is an actual... This was one of the ghost stories that Denise told. The Kappa is actually a part of Japanese folklore, and it's basically like a river spirit. And
yeah.
There are different types of stories about it. But yeah. This one was, it lives in the sewers and I'll pull you in by your vagina, which is...
Am I wrong in thinking that there are Kappas in Harry Potter that are sea creatures?
I don't think those are called Kappas.
Aren't there Kappas in Hinky Punk? Like, isn't that, like, one of the things they fight? I know... I might be wrong.
Was it called a Kappa?
I feel it... Well, I know there's a bunch of different sea creatures they fight. They fight the seaweed guys that are something with a G that I'm blanking on, but I could have sworn...
Oh, man.
I could have sworn one of the things that, Man, now I'm blanking on his name. That Lupin had them fight was a Kappa, but I might be wrong. Research time.
Yeah, I'm doing some Googling. I always, whenever I say I'm doing some Googling, it just sounds dirty.
Doing some Googling.
Yeah. Don't ever say it like that. Kappa is a Japanese water demon. They are infamous for sneaking up on intruding humans and strangling them to death. Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lupin introduced them, and it's the third creature they studied.
Aha! I was right! My Harry Potter knowledge is strong.
It's one of the reasons I like you so much.
The other thing they talked about was the Red Cloak, which is, and I apologize if I'm pronouncing this incorrectly, the Akamanto, which is also actually a Japanese folklore, which is almost exactly what they said with the whole thing of the two different colored toilet papers. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing because when they mention them, I thought that they were going to be fake, like made up for
right,
the show.
Right, just for the purpose
or,
of being...
Or like referencing specific movies, you know, as like an homage.
I mean, I had a definitive Grudge vibe from the way that scene was shot.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But that was more of a stylistic choice. Mm. Oh, there's one thing that we forgot to talk about, and that's the fact that... So number three says that she... is so shaken up by having seen Boone that she had to go get drunk.
Mm.
We haven't actually seen them getting drunk or partying or having sex. They just, like, talk about it.
Yeah, they had, like, sex in, like, what, like, episode one or something? Or, yeah, it's interesting that a show so jam-packed with sororities and, you know, with Greek life and with...
just discussing it. Yeah. They say how much they do it.
They talk so much about these things and the fact that it is a horror thing, which is so violent, but is so lacking in anything sexual, which is, I mean, obviously another one of the big tropes of the horror genre. It just, in some ways, it's cool because they're not, like, super objectifying these people, which a lot of these things do. But in other ways, I just think it's, like, odd. Like, they don't necessarily have to be having sex, but I think it's odd that they've never, like, legitimately gotten a party scene, aside from in 95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super weird. Yeah. And it's not something that Fox is against.
Yeah.
Like, I watch Empire.
Yeah.
There is plenty of sex scenes there. It's not something that they stay away from. And a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess it was just a
choice. I mean, even in, like, New Girl and stuff, people have sex. So, I don't know. Just interesting. It might be a Murphy choice.
Yeah.
All right. So, should we move on?
Yeah. So, then there's the best part of this episode is the reunion of Chad and Boone.
Yes. Oh, man. And I'm sad that we won't get another scene with the two of them because they just had such great chemistry.
Romance.
Oh, man. It's a lot of fun. He borrows the shirt.
Yeah, he needs his date shirt. Yeah. Chad's date. Boone needs Chad's date shirt because it's a guaranteed in with Zayday.
Because,
you know, if you have sex with the ghost... then the ghost gets to stay on Earth.
Wait, what? He said once you go black, you never go back?
And that's where it came from.
Back to hell?
Heaven. He keeps saying, as I was in heaven.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay.
Okay, Boone. But yeah, so that's how he says that he's still gay, but he needs to have sex with a black girl so that he can come back to life.
Well, here's something. We never actually know why or how Boone started to like Zayday.
Yeah, what is up with that? Every week we say it, and some week we will. I do need to go back to the premiere and see if there's any interaction at all, if there's even a glance in her direction, if they even have any screen time. I don't remember any interaction with them at all. And she's a freshman, right? She's Grace's roommate.
She's a freshman. So
on campus for, like, what, like a week when he falls in love with her?
Yeah. It's not like it was, like, Sam, where we were like, well, we don't know if she's a freshman.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it would have made more sense, like, they could have easily had him fall in love with any of the Chanels, all of whom were upperclassmen.
I think it was just, I don't know, I guess it's funny. Like, I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
Not funny. But it's just weird that they chose... No, that there's no logical explanation.
Yeah, and that he just totally gave up all this 20 years of planning for a girl that he's not even spoken to.
Yeah.
Very strange, but...
Yeah, also, how did Chad find out that the ghost of Boone was back?
Yeah, I assume him... Because Chanel had, like, just found out. I guess she could have texted him and be like, don't look out for your boy.
Yeah. He's back.
But did Chanel even believe in the ghost part?
Seemingly.
Yeah. I mean, I almost for a second was like...
People bought into it
so easily. Is Chad still having sex with three? Like, I guess that could be happening. But, maybe. Like, but I guess she could have, like, ran to Chad after she encountered Boone.
Everybody bought into the ghost thing so easily.
Such a Ryan Murphy type of joke to do that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm willing to let go of this, like, how did Chad find out? Like, whatever. We're obviously not going to revisit that.
Yeah.
Boone finds out that Earl Grey and Zayday are seeing each other.
Yeah.
Which we also find out. Because we haven't had a Zayday and Earl Grey scene since the episode she got kidnapped after...
Which was, like, episode 4?
Yeah. Saying that she plans on being president. And that he plans on being president of the Dickey Dollar Scholars.
Yeah.
Or her being
And that seemed like that was like their first meeting.
Yeah.
Like, it was very strange that this is a reveal and that they just weren't given any sort of anything and then he was just killed off and that he was such a minor character.
We could see him in the background of a couple of other episodes.
It's also interesting that aside from Chad, that means like all of the Dickey Dollar Scholars were just like totally just random like fodder to be killed off.
Yeah.
And people, it's interesting because they were just people for the girls to have crushes on and not actual characters, most of them.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's interesting. It's kind of a cool choice in some ways, but, like, why?
I mean, this harkens back to what we were talking about the first episode, but there aren't enough people of color on this show.
Yeah, I mean, especially Earl Grey was just not treated well, and we just talked about we weren't a huge fan of him now that we know everything, how they've treated Zayday, and...
Denise, I mean, I've always liked her. I don't know how you feel about how you've grown. I like Denise. She's a central character this episode as well. But then, you know, Pete's not in this episode. Sam is dead. Like, it's just...
Yeah,
it's not hard.
And the thing is, Denise, I've always been sort of torn on. Because, yes, I do think she's funny, and I think she's one of the funnier characters, and her performance is great, and they grant her good lines. But I still think she is, in a lot of ways, a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of people write that they weren't happy with her as a stereotype, and especially even like the way that both she and Zayday speak, a lot of people I've seen have issues with. I'm personally not going to, like, say anything about that because I don't know,
I've read an interview where Kiki Palmer, who plays Zayday, was basically kind of, the argument there was that that's a different kind of representation of, like, people who do speak like that don't see themselves on TV necessarily because showrunners want to avoid the stereotype of people speaking like this. And
I mean, all this is very difficult.
It doesn't have an easy answer. By no means are we sociologists who are capable of answering this or handling it with the full sensitivity and knowledge that it deserves.
But I mean, I have always been sort of, especially because they very much also toe the line of, is she a moron or is she competent?
Right.
And, like, it'd be nice if she was just competent.
But
that also would take away some of her comedy. And
she's
funny.
Yeah, she's supposed to be a comedic character. Anyway, but the point is that I was disappointed by the idea of, I mean, yes, Boone does have a crush on Zayday.
Yeah.
But the fact of
the them, only Dickie Doll scholar only, that is the only not white is
black guy on the show.
Yeah, is what the has, only
is with the only yeah. like not adult.
Yeah, yeah.
Black girl on the show.
Well, the only sorority girl and the only fraternity brother of color are the ones
are together. That, yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, so then we go back. Speaking of Denise, we go to Denise being in the bathroom, and she enters a stall that has red and blue toilet paper.
Yeah. So I think that for the first thing I think is interesting about this is that it kind of confirms that one of the people hearing that ghost story is probably the Red Devil, right? I feel like it's pretty.
Because how did they know? And then the Red Devil's in the bathroom there, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, and again, so she ends up running in. Like out of there, I'm skipping ahead. We'll come back to it. She runs ahead and she runs into the closet or wherever the people are packing,
there,
and
the
it's all the Chanels are together. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it was one of the Chanels attacking her. I do think it was Boone, but clearly Boone found out about this thing from one of the girls hearing the story. Otherwise, or unless it's just like random craziness, but I don't think so.
No, that would make no sense.
Yeah,
but yeah, Denise fights back. She almost gets a swirly. The Red Devil does get a swirly.
I liked the Red Devil getting a swirly. I thought that was really funny.
Are swirlies a thing that actually happen?
In life?
Yeah.
I feel like at this point, because of television, they happen.
Interesting.
Like, I feel like there was a point in time where they are probably more prevalent, and then I feel like they were dying off, and then television shows them enough that people are like, that would be fun to do to someone. I don't know. God. I'm not sure. I mean, I was in a high school. It was something I talked a lot about when I was doing a Glee podcast about how much physical bullying that I saw on that show and how that didn't resonate with me at all because nothing like that happened at my school. But it is something that I think that it might just be the area we're in. There isn't a lot of stuff like that or maybe the size of the schools that we went to. I mean, I know my dad was in school, what, in, like, the 60s, and, I mean, that was a different time, but he was in a much bigger school, and there was a lot of fighting and a lot of bullying, and, you know, so, you know, I'm not sure.
We went to small high schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see much physical bullying.
Yeah. So, unless it was, like, actually, like, a fight between people. Like, if it was, like, it wasn't, like, I just walk up to a person in the hallway and beat the crap out of them for no reason. It was, like, we have a beef for somebody, you know.
Yeah, but, yeah, there were a couple of slap fights and...
Yeah.
Ooh, anyway.
Ooh, slap fight.
The good old days, I guess. Anyway, yeah, I mean, that's it, that we go back with the Chanels, they're all there, and Hester tells the story of the meat hook killer from the 1950s.
Yeah.
And I couldn't fully catch what the song on the radio was singing about, but it kind of sounded like it was about a murderer or about someone chopping meat or something like that.
Yeah. Which was really funny, and I mean, I also just, liked the aesthetic of this whole scene,
so
and
cool.
A lot of fun. I was saying to you earlier that it reminded me a lot of the Halloween episode of Community, which is a lot of people, everybody tells a scary story in, like, a different style and stuff, and they do an homage to this whole meat hook killer thing, too, where you hear on the radio. And I'm not sure, is that just, like, I don't know if you know, but in general, someone on Twitter knows, is that just, like, an urban legend, or is it, like, a specific old timey movie that people always reference? Because I know I've seen references to this meat hook killer thing a lot.
I think it's both. Honestly, odds are the movie is based off of an urban legend.
Yeah,
which is kind of like, you know, those or they took it in a different direction.
Yeah.
This is something that has, in some way, shape, or form, has permeated the idea of ghost story pop culture. Like, I think my earliest memory of this kind of story would probably be SpongeBob.
Really?
Yeah, the hash slinging slasher.
I regularly remember this.
It's like, instead of a hook for a hand, he has a spatula for a hand something like that. And I mean, it's different because it takes place in the Krusty Krab, but, and not, you know, in a car or something like this. But just like this person, hitchhiker off of the street.
Yeah.
Murder.
Murder.
Kill. Yeah.
All right.
I think I just quoted a song.
Murder, kill.
Well,
I think you're referencing Scream 2 when the person's out the front, the roommate or the friend's on the phone. They go kill, murder.
I mean, yes.
Yeah. Is that not what you meant to?
No.
Okay.
I'm definitely quoting a band that is highly Highly. I'm not going to talk about this band because talking about like race issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
So moving on. Number five is reasonable again. She wants to get out of here.
So reasonable. Yes. Albeit a bit whiny, but reasonable. Like, get out,
Cut to Earl Grey and Zayday, which they, we kind of already talked
about.
Yeah,
but they kiss for the first time, which again is like, I guess that's a big enough excuse for how they're not really together, but they're friends.
I suppose.
But it's just, we haven't seen them together.
I mean, I don't even, because I mean, I personally, aside from the fact that it was a girl and a boy in a scene alone together, nothing in that scene that we had seen before specifically suggested flirtation to me.
I mean, it's so weird that she's talking about, like, well, we'll fly to see each other, but you haven't kissed yet.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It's just, it feels like this random.
And it wasn't, it didn't seem like he was particularly upset when she was kidnapped. You
know,
like,
I just don't know. Yeah. They just didn't invest enough time in either of these characters. Yeah. Anyway, so he says that he needs, before they do the deed, he needs to get, you know, his robe and lotions and champagne and blah, blah, blah.
Because he's a player.
Yeah. So as soon as he leaves, Boone ascends the ladder.
So
with
he
the date shirt.
Yes, and he tries to pull the oldest trick in the book and pretend to be a ghost who needs to sleep with her.
Which, yeah, definitely. The number of times I've heard that pickup line. Absolutely.
That's how you met me.
Yep, Dan, I fell for it. No.
I did enjoy the boyfriend material joke.
That's the oldest line. Oh my god.
Oh, that was
anyway,
funny.
But yeah, then Grace comes. So Zayday's not taking this. She's like, I see the fork mark on your hand.
Yeah, that was good.
Grace comes in. She's like, you are not a ghost. Stop it. And I push him out the window, which I think is a reasonable response.
Well, I wasn't even sure if they were trying. I thought they were trying to pull him down, and it just like ended up that he went out the window.
Yes,
yeah,
but hey, if you fake your death, you're allowed to be murdered.
You know, it's interesting. I get that it's sort of a reasonable response, but my response would still be to run away if I thought I figured out who the Red Devil was. I would not attack him.
but he wasn't trying to attack Zayday. He wanted to sleep with her, so I don't think they felt like they were in danger
from
him. So, but anyway, he falls out the window, and a millisecond later, is gone.
Yeah, because he
is magic.
Is magic.
He is dead. He is dead. Of course he's magic.
He's a ghost. Yeah, he flew away.
He's Boone.
He's dead gay Boone. Okay, so number five is going to leave, and we get this funny thing.
Actually, you missed it.
Yes.
That happens. It's that order.
Yes.
Right.
Chanel's leave. Number five is leaving, and then Chanel says,
Don't go, actually. Like, she's like, I don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah. I just love the delivery of that line.
Very good. Good job, Emma Roberts. And then, so Earl Grey gets stabbed by Devil Boone.
The thing that, the first time I watched it, and that's why I kind of mixed up the order, was for me it felt really weird how quickly Boone goes from falling out the window
to
the Red Devil costume.
Yeah.
To killing.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting because she's leaving, and I'm like, oh, is she going to get killed and thus destroy our theory?
Yeah,
and then Earl Grey comes out, and I'm like, who's going to die? I think that was a pretty nice tension-y moment.
It was great. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I appreciated it more the second time.
Yeah.
Because I knew that, even though I knew which one of them would get killed, I actually was able to notice the fact that, like, oh, number five is one of our suspects.
Yeah.
But they, you know, place this idea of, is she going to be the one who dies?
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely great. Yeah. Great editing on that part, too. Yeah.
All right. So then we get a sort of redo of Hester's Meat Hook killer story with number five driving the car. I like the music they chose for this scene.
The Go-Go's?
Yeah.
Because she's going. I'm sorry, guys.
So, okay, let's talk about who this killer was. Because the killer is in her back seat, ends up coming out and killing the truck driver. And five drives away.
Yeah.
But so who do we think that Red Devil was?
So our options obviously are Boone or
the other one. So now the question.
So we talk about how it might be Hester, who's the other one.
Yeah, well, the only other option I can easily think of would be that it would be Hester, because in the following scene, Hester is not with the other Chanels. She could have gone in to kill five, because Hester came up with the story is the other reason.
That's
yeah.
a big one.
And then she could have done that to kill Five and then gone back and talked to Chad. So, you know, she was in the right place at the right time kind of thing. On the flip side, it could just be Boone, and this could be to throw the scent off of Five, sort of. Though he didn't actually need... I mean, it could have been a combo of it gets him away from the scene of the crime quickly by going in her back and then letting her do this. But it's kind of like nobody else was there to see it happen, so she could have just driven him away and then told him a fake story. I am less suspicious of Five than I once was.
So far, we have no reason to believe that what they show us
isn't
a
real.
Lie.
Yeah.
So far, everything that has been shown to us is true.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to rescind on that.
Yeah.
Even with the whole lie of setting up that Boone is actually gay, that's fine, because they didn't actually, like, have a scene where he's saying to himself that he's gay. You know what I mean? Like, visually, we've seen truth, and I want it to remain that way.
But at the same, I don't think it's totally out of the question that what we saw really happened and that it was still some sort of way to get him away and for Five to be able to say she has a story or something. But it does. It seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Which kind of bums me out. I still wanted Five to be the killer, but I guess...
Well, I mean, unless Hester, again, going back to the promo...
Yeah.
Unless Hester didn't actually die at the end of this episode... Mm. Then who's the red devil that's sitting next to Gigi at the Thanksgiving scene?
Well, that was before Hester died.
No.
Yeah, it was. That
in
was...
the promo.
Oh, in the promo.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
You see the red devil sitting next to
Gigi. Yeah, but that could still be Hester.
Right, so if Hester doesn't actually die at the end of the
scene. Oh, that's what you're saying. I got confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
No worries.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So it's either...
It could be Hester.
Either Hester's still alive or...
I feel like...
It's not Hester.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to sort of pause and have a general discussion about how I'm getting more and more nervous that there's no satisfactory way to conclude this?
I don't... Again, I have a theory.
Okay. Do you want to... We can hold...
Should we do it now? I don't know.
Wait, let's just do it now. We're in it. So, I want to say that, like... We're low on characters now.
We really are.
And especially if we feel like it has to be one of the people that Denise was telling the story to, then it's like, that leaves us with very few suspects. And so no matter who it is out of those Chanels, none of them are going to be a surprise. And so then the surprising thing could have been their motivation, except that we know that they're the daughter of the dead bathtub baby. You know, they are the first bathtub baby. Or the first girl is the first one. Yeah. So we know their motivation. We think we know it's one of the Chanels, and even if it isn't, there aren't that many characters to choose from in general.
Okay. All right. So here's my theory.
Yeah.
And this has a spoiler. The second to last episode.
She's gonna be saying the episode titles.
Yes. The name of the second to last episode is called Dorcas.
Okay.
As in Melanie Dorcas, as in the former Kappa president.
Okay.
Who got sprayed with acid.
Yeah, in the premiere.
In the premiere, yes.
Okay.
So.
I'm very impressed that you even remembered that her name was Melanie
Dorcas. I went back, I was bored, and I had listened to our first podcast on Scream Queens.
Yeah.
The other day. So, that's why I remembered her, and then. In looking through the Wikipedia, I noticed that there was an episode called Dorcas.
Okay.
If the Kappa house is bugged.
Yeah.
She could be listening to every conversation that's happening everywhere. She probably could still have the keys.
Yeah.
To every room. She, part of this ultimate revenge plot, wasn't necessarily, you know, she might have just chosen Chanel as, like, to be set up as the fall person for why she got sprayed with acid, but then she on purpose sprayed herself with acid.
Or you mean like Boone sprayed her with acid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like that. So basically, I'm thinking maybe Melanie Dorcas is the other Red Devil.
That and would be interesting.
She's been set up as a character.
Yeah.
Since the first episode.
Hmm.
She just hasn't been around.
But would that... So it's...
She's gone. She's elsewhere. That was explained by Dean Munch.
So this is the interesting thing about whodunits in general and why it's difficult to do them on television. Because that in some ways would be great, and I want to congratulate you on this theory, because I think it's a solid theory, and I think it's interesting. On the flip side, and it would be much more surprising than any of the people that we've thought of. But on the flip side, you want the person who's revealed to be someone you know and care about.
Right.
And I don't know anything, like, we literally haven't, most people wouldn't even remember her.
Oh, yeah.
So, and people have, like, a few lines.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that that would be satisfying. I feel like it has to be someone, so, like, a lot of people complained, I'm not going to go into specifics, but a lot of people complained about the reveal of the MTV Scream killer being predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Even though throughout the season, people named, like, 50 other suspects, but because by the end, people had enough time to think about every possibility, and a lot of people had aligned on this particular person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I feel like we could have a repeat here, because the only thing that, like, really could switch things up is how they act, why they're doing what they're doing, and so that's why I'm nervous, because it's like, I don't know. I at this point, I'm more excited to see how the actor acts in this role,
mm-hmm.
than I am what the actor will realize. And that's kind of why I want it to be Abigail Breslin or Earmuffs, because I think either of them would be a big enough switch once they were quote-unquote evil or whatever, that I would be excited to see that actor take on that role. And so I'm, like, more excited about that than I am about the reveal, because there's, like, I don't feel like... And this was, like, a huge, crazy twist, which we have some tweets that we can talk about later, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Another thing is just the fact that they're naming an episode Dorcas.
Yeah.
So
she'll probably come back in some capacity. Yes.
So I'm hesitant, but at the same time, it kind of makes sense.
So this is the penultimate. This is all this the on penultimate. This on will be, the finale night.
This will be the part one of the finale.
Yeah.
Part two of the finale is called The Final Girls with the S in parentheses.
Oh.
So it might just be The Final Girl. Sorry, guys. Anyway, so that's just my theory where, it's maybe a Kappa, but not a Chanel.
See, now you know what I think could be, what that could mean for the final girls?
Mm-hmm.
Is it could be a face-off between the final girl and the final killer girl.
Yeah, that also makes sense. Oh my god, I'm so excited.
I'm hopeful that they pull the rug out from under me and I'm totally end up being flabbergasted. It doesn't even necessarily need to be a big surprise as long as it all fits together and is cool.
Yeah. I want it to make sense.
And to be exciting.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so where were we?
Okay, so we were talking about Hester. It's time for Hester and Chad's scene.
Right. Yeah. So Hester confronts Chad, who's still delicately packing, about why she's not the one who's going with him to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's back in her bedazzled neck brace, which revolts him. Ugh.
And he says that she's the Hamburglar and
she's not rich.
Has bad genes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Not my favorite Chad jokes, but no matter what he delivers it well.
They were fine.
So, yeah.
They were entertaining. Also, they set up the best Chad joke, where Hester is like, well, we'll see, we'll wait and see. And he's like, well, yeah, obviously we'll wait and see. Thanksgiving hasn't happened yet. And I think this is the direct quote where it's like, the arrow of time flows in one direction. I need an excuse to use that in my daily life.
It's
the
so
arrow
good.
Of time flows in one direction. Like, where does he pull out this, like, deep, eloquent...
He's a psychology major, okay?
God. Oh, yeah, well, he tried to explain to Hester on her level as a non-psychology major.
Oh, my God.
Chad.
So good.
Would I... Oh, no. If we had Chad here, would you bring him into our relationship?
Would I bring him into our relationship?
You know.
He can just give commentary.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Might try and pork me. That'd be complimentary.
Is it complimentary? He porks everybody.
Let me have this moment, Dan.
You'd be on Denise's level, so.
So,
Grace and Chanel.
Right. So, Grace and Chanel Everybody's down in the living room.
Yeah.
And this is because number five came back and Girl Grey is dead. And Chanel's like, well, we know Boone's a red devil. And then Chanel summarizes, like, we know there are two red devils. So it's like, great. All of the people know, like, we know that they know that there are two of them.
Yeah.
Great.
So Hester comes in. So we kind of skimmed over the fact that it's revealed that Hester has had sex with Chad and Chad broke his pinky promise and all that stuff.
Well, it doesn't sound like since he made the pinky promise that he's had sex with her.
You think so? I took it as so since the pinky promise.
I didn't.
So now if you're right, and that's better because that makes Chanel less of a loser for going back to him.
That's the thing. I had a lot of respect for Chanel in regards to their relationship recently is because she, like, grew a spine that episode saying, like, no, you are not cheating on me.
Yeah.
Again. And, I mean, Chad also in the previous scene said, like, have you noticed that I've been avoiding you?
Yeah.
Like, I've been ignoring you. Like, stop stalking me. I am not with you anymore.
I'm interested if people agree with you because I definitely read it as he cheated on... All right, okay. So that's... Okay. So, well, but it could go either way.
It could, but yeah. I definitely read it as... Now Chad has been he's taking Chanel seriously in that she meets everything that he needs as a requirement.
Okay, so that your interpretation makes more sense to me about how Chanel reacts the rest of this episode, because when she was like super mad at him because he got her pregnant and then seemingly was over it in the next scene because she was going to kill Hester, I was like, well, he still cheated on you. But if you're right, then that helps.
For me, that's the reason that I'm not upset with Chanel this episode is because, I mean, maybe even if that's not how it's intended.
Yeah.
Just for me to continue
to like
liking Chanel and respecting her more. Because, again, going back to the first podcast we did on Scream Queens, our big thing was being like, Chanel seems like such a like self-confident, badass, kind of like, yeah, she's a bitch. But like, she is... She
in
is
control
strong.
And strong.
But her weakness is Chad. And then that bothered us for episodes and episodes, and then they made the pinky promise. And I was like, finally, she isn't taking crap from him anymore.
Yeah.
Great. And I need her to be this character now.
Yeah.
And I think that she is that character.
Yeah. So Hester does reveal to Chanel that she's pregnant with Chad's baby.
Everybody.
I am the amazing neck brace wearing Chad Radwell's wife. And
great summary, Dan.
Yes.
So the next scene is Chanel confronting Chad, the miner, who now we know isn't just taking packing seriously because he likes it and it calms him, but because he has a minor in luggage sciences and packing theory. Who comes up with this?
Ryan Murphy.
Murphy, you brilliant, messed up bastard. Like, what? Like, how do you think of these lines? Like, that...
It's very red.
What?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Good stuff.
So, Chanel tells him that Hester's pregnant, and his response is very serious. It's, like, the most serious we've seen Chad.
Yeah.
Wow. But he's like, I have to marry her.
Yeah.
I have to marry Hester. Which causes Chanel to freak out, but I really like Chad in this scene.
Mm. And I actually really like their sort of interplay with, so she's saying, like, he's going to have to pay the ultimate price or whatever thing. And he goes, like, are you the killer? Like, I think the delivery both of, are you the killer? And then her turning back and being like, I don't know what she says, like, we'll see.
Yeah, that's what she says.
Because time flows in one direction.
Right. But it was great. It was highly tense.
Yeah.
As a moment.
And I mean, I don't think that Chanel is the killer, but it was still a good moment.
She's not the killer.
I honestly was a little, and again, now that you're saying that it wasn't cheating, I get it more. I'm still a little let down. I kind of would have loved it to be that this was the straw that broke the camel's back, and that from this point on, she saw Chad as an enemy that she wanted to revenge on, as opposed to continuing to want to go to
We'll see what happens in the next episode.
Yeah.
Because things don't seem to be going well in the Radwell house. But but I really like this scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then we go back to the closet, and it's kind of a parallel of the opening, not the opening scene, but...
What do you say?
Well, we go back and it's Chanel and number three and number five. And that kind of parallels that scene where she's talking to them about how she got the necklace from Chad, and it's like, the sorority has done everything that it's useful for, and her apologizing to them And it's back to the original three.
Yeah, so that's it's interesting because I thought the scene that I thought of with this was that it reminded me of when with Hester, the other two were going to kill Chanel, and they were trying to come up with ways to kill Chanel. And now
that too.
Yeah.
That too.
So the whole idea is she wants to kill Hester so that she can get her man back and get rid of all this nonsense. Yeah.
So number five, again, is acting perfectly reasonable. And it's like, you can't just murder someone. That'll, you know. Also, I'm not taking your apology. Great lines
yeah.
for her.
I really like the meta of she's not the killer, she's a killer.
Right, which number three says, which, yeah. again,
and we say all the time.
Yes, but number three is like, again,
Number three.
Then she wouldn't have screamed when she saw Boone.
So yeah. No, she was literally on the phone. It can't be three.
Right.
It can't be three.
We're silly. Yeah. Yeah, it's not three.
Yeah.
Great. Never mind.
All right. Well, we got rid of three.
We got rid of... No, I don't want to get rid of three.
Well, we got rid of three as a possibility.
There we go. Okay.
I do hope that three gets some more interesting stuff to do before this series ends.
Oh, she's so funny.
Yeah.
Her face is just the best face.
All right. Stupid detective is stupid, says Olga.
Yeah, that's a direct Olga quote. And we're talking about the detective who is just so, painfully incompetent.
Yeah.
The guy who... Dean Munch has been sleeping with and who has just should have been fired a million and a half years ago.
I mean, here's the thing. I like that actor and I think that his, like, deliveries are usually funny.
I have no problem with the acting.
But generally, this scene, it just, like, comedically really doesn't work for me. I really don't care about dope. I really just felt silly. Felt like a bunch of everybody saying nonsense to each other and I'm just, like, tired of it at this point.
It was definitely frustrating. Yeah. I didn't enjoy... having to watch it again on the rewatch because it made me so frustrated.
Yeah.
But I thought it was comedic.
Yeah.
So I was so frustrated that I didn't laugh. Because, so the show has so many tropes about, or homages to other horror things.
Yeah.
That, of course, we've been this entire time like, well, of course the police have to be
incompetent
because that's how it works. Mm. But I feel like they've played, like, they've been hitting this so hard.
Yeah.
And now it's culminated. And that's the thing where I feel like it's climaxed in the best way that it possibly can. To the point where he thinks, I have been operating on a theory that this entire time, one single theory.
Yeah.
That it was committed, the crimes were committed by a ghost. Like, that was so, like, that's as stupid as you could possibly get.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating as a viewer, but it's hilarious if you want to subvert this. Or not subvert, but, like, poke fun at the trope.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. It's just, like, I'm just too frustrated. Mostly, and not even just at him. Even though I do feel like in a lot of ways his jokes are the same beat over and over again of look how stupid this incompetent is.
Absolutely.
At the same time, I'm just also sick of seeing, especially after the Feather episode, I'm sick of not seeing Dean Munch really be proactive and Dean Munch herself investigate, figure things out, protect the people,
be a
badass that we know she is. Like,
she claims that the first thing, her biggest priority is this school.
Yeah.
To varying degrees of success, do we actually see her prioritizing the school?
Yeah, it just, and I mean, like, I get that maybe she'd want to use the other people so that she herself isn't in direct danger, but
which also,
like,
makes sense,
but she is in direct danger. They tried to attack her, so at this point, it's like time to get your hands dirty and do something about this. You're the only intelligent person here. Like, so I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so she calls out the detective once Zeta and Grace have, like, stormed off. She calls out the detective for being an absolute moron. At least she has a type. I don't know. I like these lines.
Yeah.
And how she's saying, what was it, that she's going to, like, reveal everything about the stuff that he likes in bed.
Yeah.
Which you weren't a fan of, but I was like, ooh.
It was fine.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was like, wow, she really... I thought it was an example of her really being willing to cut throats, which we kind of...
Literally.
We do know. But being cutthroat with, like, destroying people to get what she feels they deserve.
So I did like the second, the scene with the dean and the two girls.
Upstairs,
and, yeah. And basically at the end of this, they come up that Grace talks about Gigi... And how did Gigi end up in the insane asylum with the two babies?
Well, the dean reveals
that there is a second
baby. In fact, there are two babies.
And then they get to the big reveal for the purposes of the show, because obviously everybody already knew about the two babies, is that she mentions Gigi and that that's a reveal to the dean, who the dean didn't know to be suspicious of Gigi.
I don't know if it was that much. They really didn't explicitly say.
It was a commercial break cut.
It was.
It was.
I know, but I'm
to
just
me,
saying,
I think that's going to be a big deal in the next episode.
I just think we can't read too much into them understanding things as much as they do understand them.
Yeah.
I just don't want you to be disappointed in case they are a little bit stupid.
It's possible.
Fully on the
same
page.
I think that she's going to be surprised by the fact that Gigi was in the asylum, and that because she herself, she says she mentions the girl as the only nice girl.
Right. Right.
And
one there with a bit of humanity.
Yeah, and then is like, I haven't seen her since. And then the next line is about Gigi, and it cuts to
the
commercial.
I'm just saying, it's supposed to be a thing. Oh, the audience knows, but not maybe
I
they
do
don't.
In some ways think that they spent too long waiting on the connection between those two characters, given that we came up with it in the pilot.
Yeah, seriously.
But
we need to give them room because there are still four episodes, three showings. Yeah. So I'm just saying, if they're still slow on it, don't be surprised.
Let's talk about this Big Boon Red Devil hotel scene.
The dual climaxes of the show, and that's that Boon and the other Red Devil in full getup are in a hotel room, and Gigi joins them. And we find out that this plan has been almost 20 years in the making, which we know, but this is pretty intense that, yes, it has been.
Well, if you're going to do a revenge plot, you got to do it right.
2 decades worth of it. Yeah.
Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Anyway, so Gigi knows that Boon wanted to sleep with Zayday.
So
who's been telling Gigi this?
Well, she knows that Zayday was kidnapped by Boon.
Right.
Yeah, so I do think it's interesting. And we also know that Gigi had been talking with the other Red Devil on the phone episode a few episodes ago. So it is a great scene. A lot of great tension here with not knowing what the Red Devil is going to do. Is he going to sigh? Or she probably. Is she probably going to side with Gigi? Because we know that Gigi's wanted her to kill Boon. Or is she going to side with Boon, who wants her to kill Gigi? And sort of, we get all these, before Boon dies, he gives us all the exposition we need.
So much exposition, I love it. Yeah, that they grew up in the institution, which again, like,
ludicrous.
What, how?
Yeah, what is this, Bane or something? Like,
that part pisses me off.
Yeah,
that's
just dumb.
So unrealistic. Yeah. Vaguely surrealistic.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I'm still in the process of trying to let that go, to be honest. Anyway, so Boon is talking about, I learned how to slow down my breathing. I learned how to do movie makeup. No. That he practiced on the patients, which is like, also what? You know, they keep hitting this like, we were in the institution too.
Yeah.
Stop bringing it up, because that's the only way that I can accept it. Like, it's just going to drive me crazy. And then this big thing of like, how his mother would have understood that he wanted something for himself, meaning Zayday, and like why he went off the rails of the plan. And then he brings up like, well, we're grown-ups now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And so like the most telling thing to sort of confirm who the other Red Devil is after the Red Devil stabs Boon and bye-bye Boon, I'm sad that you're gone. But Gigi says your commitment to the revenge is greater than your brother's was. So now we pretty definitively,
like, we've had this 5 times over that definitively the two Red Devils are the twins from the bathtub.
Yeah.
Great. So we do not have any more questions ever again that they are, like, this better not be a new revelation ever again. That will drive me crazy.
And I guess my question to you then becomes, is that satisfying that the two devils are the two twins, and it is like we have this whole big convoluted thing at the beginning, and it kind of comes down to something pretty simple, obvious, like, oh, these two babies, and they want to kill the people who got their mother killed. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a very simple revenge story. And like,
I would have been more interested if there were three Red Devils, not including Gigi.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's I think I'll be more clear on how I feel once we see the other person revealed, but...
Yeah. Also, if Zayday is still someone who's doing something hinky.
Hinky-dinky.
Yeah. So it all depends on how much bad stuff people are going to do. Like, I might not necessarily... I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely a lot rides on who it is and how reasonable the interactions work out. Like, how much we can reason out what's been going on.
I guess it's just, it's confusing to me if it really is so much about revenge when the people they've been seeking vengeance on have not been the Chanel, not been the Kappas that much. Like, only, what, two Kappas have died? They're both... I guess three Kappas, okay.
Well, that's another one of the reasons why I'm like, maybe it is Melanie Dorcas, of like, she's been eliminating kind of the loser pledges.
Minus Ariana Grande.
Right.
Yeah.
Who she might have not just, again, it depends.
Yeah. It's just, again, I said this weekly now, it's confusing about who they've killed. If this is a 20-year plan in the making, the only people that, to me, it makes sense to kill are Chanel number one and Grace. Because what are the rest of the... Like, what are the Dickie Dollar scholars do that led to their mom's death?
Well, like, the biggest thing... Well, not the biggest thing, excuse me. In an episode where we heard... In the previous episode where Boone is talking with his sister about killing, is that they feel like Gigi's... like going off of the rails because they're supposed to be causing more havoc. Like, a big thing is causing havoc and vengeance and just like wreaking chaos on the campus. So, like,
it's just funny to me though. Like, if I was a cop at this point, I would think it was all about the Dickie Dollar scholars, not the Kappas. Like, most of the Dickie Dollar scholars are dead now.
Well, percentage wise, more Dickie Dollar scholars seem to be dead than Kappas. It's a mess.
Every Dickie Dollar scholar other than Chad that we've ever known of is dead now.
Right, but there are more of them, obviously. Yeah. Anyway, so then we go to the last scene of the show, and it's the Chanel setting up Hester with foods that, you know, you can't have when you're pregnant.
Yeah, and alcohol.
Alcohol.
Do you think Hester's a little too stupid here?
Oh, That was it was hard watching Lea Michele in this scene.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like...
A little bit too dumb.
Again, this insanity.
Yeah.
Also, she was, like, overacting with her facial expression. I don't know. There's a fine line between enjoying their facial expressions and hating them.
Yeah.
I hated her expression, and she was like, oh, this cheese is amazing. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Those facial expressions were really... I don't know.
But the important thing to talk about here is just that Chanel ends up killing Hester. I don't think we have to go over every little beat
But there were some nice... I enjoyed the beats of it.
Like,
the surprise of Chanel apologizing to Hester, that really fooled me
the first time. I knew exactly where that was going.
Well, I mean...
As soon as they were on a staircase, I was like...
Well, yes.
It's the easiest way, especially considering Chanel is supposedly a first-time killer.
Yeah.
Very easy thing to just push someone down the stairs.
Right.
Take a lot of premeditation.
Especially since earlier in the episode, Denise was like, I am not going down that dramatic death staircase that you have. Yeah. But, so that seed was planted. But I just mean... I like this. It slows the scene down, the mania of everything that's happening, to her apologizing, and it's a tonal shift. And yeah, of course she pushes her down the stairs. The thing that I don't understand is, let's take her to the meat locker. Like, you could have just played off it
as it was the killer.
As an accident.
Oh, I was going to say you played it off that it was Red Devil easily.
Well, either way, you could have, like, that's not necessary to hide Hester's body. That's the part where I was like, you are making a mistake right now.
Yeah.
And why, another reason why we can't fully count out Hester as being dead.
Yeah.
Because putting her in the meat locker, someone else can still go and, like, look for her. I don't know.
I honestly hope Hester's dead.
Me too.
We heard her neck crack. I suppose you said maybe that's her back being fixed by the fall.
I hope not.
I mean, I can see that being something they go with. But it's just like, I don't want it to be Hester. She's been too kooky from the very beginning and is just like, I don't know.
Her arc is done.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else. I mean, we were upset about how, again, she seemed out of focus in the last few episodes.
Yeah.
Like, after a big buildup of her and Chad, they just drop her and she has nothing to do, and now she has something to do, and now she dies.
Yeah, and I think that, I just feel like, given how upset Gigi was with Boone about Zayday, that she would probably be like, you're putting too much heat on yourself and taking too much attention to yourself with the whole Chad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's... I'm hoping it's not Hester. I understand why people can still think it might be her, and I wouldn't be surprised if she came back, but I hope that she doesn't.
Me too. Also, and same the whole with Boone surprise and, of, they're dead, let them be dead. Yeah, we've had that already once.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. So hopefully she's dead. Goodbye, Leah Michelle.
Goodbye. I'm sorry that you ended on such an annoying note.
It's so sad in some ways, because we were so on board with Chad and Hester in that one episode,
yeah,
and then they just went so to hell. I mean, I don't even necessarily think that they did, like, a bad job, but it just, like, it was not as fun when time went on.
No. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I wish there was more of a love triangle instead of him avoiding her. But then it makes sense.
Well, that honestly is the main thing that made things go to hell, is that he suddenly flipped and was like, Hester's gross. Like, when he was real, when he was in control, and he was like, oh, yes.
I'm so into this. Yeah.
That was...
But then Chanel started being more in control. I don't know. It's...
I mean, honestly, the Chad is hilarious, but I don't think that they've done a great job of making me understand his decisions. Like, because I still don't understand why he'd be inviting Chanel. Like, I know he wants money, but I still don't understand why he'd be inviting Chanel to Thanksgiving and wanting to marry her. And
yeah. Anyway, yeah, I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
Definitely something that wasn't handled as well as it could have been on the show, could have taken a bit more finesse in editing.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense in the long run with him choosing Chanel the way he does.
All right, shall we get into our listener feedback?
Yes, so...
All right, so if you want to contact us and be on the show and have your thoughts and theories heard, you only have a few more weeks to do so. So you can email us at thescreamcast@gmail.com. That would be great if you have a nice long theory for us. If you have something quicker, some little feedback or, you know, issue with an episode or something, you can tweet us at ScreamPod on Twitter. You can also go to thescreamcast.wordpress.com. That has a contact us thing right there and has all our episodes and all that jazz. Also, a lovely new iTunes rating or review would make us so very pleased. We haven't gotten one in a while, and if you want to make our day, that would be a good way to do it.
Absolutely, and it'll help us get more listeners as well.
Yeah.
That's something that, you know, and that way we'll know that people want to actually keep listening to us doing this stuff.
Yeah.
It'll make me want to stay awake through Scream 3.
All right.
So here are some of the tweets we had. So from Mo Fierce, this is a stretch, but what if one of the babies is now trans? Number 5, is the boy baby now a girl? Hence all the talk of her vagina being weird.
I think this is interesting, and the vagina being weird, repeated joke, I could see that maybe being foreshadowing. My only real issue with this particular choice of it being Chanel number 5 is that I think pretty definitively at this point, Boone is the boy baby.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more likely that the girl baby is now trans and presenting as a male.
So... Do you know, I've read a few about this.
I think the next person talks about this, so why don't you read the next tweet real quick.
Yep. All right, so from Woosh Danny H, good episode Tuesday. Still think it's a swerve that Hester is the other devil, but can it be anyone else? Pete female. That's exactly it.
That's the thing you've been hearing?
Yeah.
I think that could be interesting, and I could see, honestly, because it's Ryan Murphy, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
I
hate... this trope now. Like, it's becoming a trope. It's something Pretty Little Liars did.
Really?
Watch it, but I hear, I don't know, I have a lot of friends who watch Pretty Little Liars. Sorry if I spoiled someone on Pretty Little Liars. Whatever. This episode's been out for a while, so catch up if you watch it,
yeah.
I guess.
That someone who was presenting as
a
one
villain
was actually something else.
Was male to female.
Okay.
I don't know. I just don't like this whole thing of before it was the trope of, like, the gay villain that we haven't fully left behind.
Yeah.
And now it's... Not just now. I mean, there's even Ace Ventura. I don't know if you're familiar with the movie.
I know of it, but...
It's a Jim Carrey movie. The entire thing rested on male to female transition.
Well, I mean, it's funny that that's what you went to and not Psycho and Silence of the Lambs.
I mean, there's a, I'm just saying there's a history of this, of, like, the trans villain.
Yes, there is definitely a history with, and obviously they've been a lot of specifically Psycho and Silence of the Lambs references in this show. Absolutely, and that could easily be, and I should say that those aren't exactly trans in the traditional sense. Those are more like, well, I don't know how you
pronounce that. Well, that's in
yeah.
But what I mean is, with those movies that it makes me think of, is because they have a non-trans actor playing. Like, basically, they just have, like, a cisgendered person saying that they are trans.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother thing of what we deal with in terms of trans representation.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because I think that, I think if it was Pete and he had transitioned, it's a couple things. I think there could be some positives from it, but I think, first of all, is it going to be like Boone, where they transitioned for the revenge plot, and that was the only reason? In which case, it's like, you're doing that with both Boone and with Pete, and, like, what is up with that? Also, is that why they're stopping him from having sex with Grace? And
what you brought up about the finale, the final girls?
Yeah.
Parentheses. Oh, God, that would, I really hope it's not this.
It's, and it's just like, it just, using it as a twist, I'm pretty sure there was a big thing in Batgirl recently where it was a twist that someone was a different gender or something like that. It's just like, that's not a, it's not, there, it's not like there aren't any positive potential things that can come from that, depending on how you work it, but it's just like, I don't want it to be a gotcha moment. If you're going to present a trans character, present them as a person who we can see them, you know, like,
it's something that we are not seeing done in a good way.
Yeah.
It hasn't been handled well so far.
Yeah. Well, it makes me hesitant. It's one of those things where, if we lived in a society where we had tons of representations of trans individuals in media, then having this as a twist would be fine. Like, I wouldn't have an issue with it if there were positive things and a twist. But when we live in a society with so few representations of trans individuals, it becomes like, okay, so you're only doing this for the gotcha factor and
a comedy moment.
Yeah, Or, like, Grace going to be, like, skeeved out?
That's not what I want to see from these characters.
Yeah, but the thing is, I could very, very easily see this happening. I mean, I hadn't even thought about the fact that there are so many Silence of the Lambs and Psycho references.
Yeah, me neither.
And that I was just saying, like, there's no twist left, that there's so, we have so few characters, it's going to be obvious, and that the Pete thing would be a twist. It would still be something we figured out, because this is the issue with whodunits on television, that you have too much time to think, but it's,
and discuss with people, and then get feedback.
But for a huge portion of the audience, I think that if it was Pete, that would be a huge twist. And so, I can very easily see that happening, and I, especially in wake of Boo not actually being gay, and it's just, I don't know.
It just feels grimy.
Yeah. And I also just feel like we haven't seen a lot of Pete in general.
That's another thing entirely.
Yeah, and how does the fact that he stalked Chanel fit into all this, or?
Unless it's just the obsession, well, that actually does make sense now.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to, I think if I'm going to have to pick one person who's going to be, I think Pete.
God, me too. I think it makes the most sense. Yeah. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I just don't, it won't be handled correctly.
Yeah.
Or it's not just correctly. I don't think there's a way of handling it correctly at this point.
Yeah.
If that's what they're doing.
Because the other thing is that Pete is the main person who it would be a big dramatic thing for Grace. You know?
I don't want
to.
Like, the whole, like, and you've been sleeping with the, or not sleeping with, but like,
you were, in fact,
the killer this entire time. Yeah. It's like, well, again, that's another homage to other horror, like,
Scream. I mean, on the one hand, like, not from a representational standpoint, but from a, like, I don't know, entertainment standpoint, I guess I would prefer it to be that if it's going to be Pete, that it to be this trans thing, rather than just the boyfriend did it, at least it would be a little bit more of a twist. But from a representational standpoint, no.
It's just terrible.
Yeah, no. It's not good.
I don't... We shouldn't be using...
Yeah.
We shouldn't be using that idea of people being trans as...
Like, and the thing is, you know what I bet they would try to pull, which could also piss me off if they did it, would be the whole thing of, like, you just see someone, you assume that they're the gender that they started out with, or blah, blah, that's why you never even suspected me. Or, like, they try to, like, make it into, like, making the audience feel bad for for assuming gender.
That's so wrong.
Yeah.
That's just, don't try and pull this role reversal on me of, like, making... The viewer feel guilty for being closed-minded when, in the long run, it is the system that is making this be a reveal.
Yeah.
Be the thing that's closed-minded.
Yeah. I mean, and again, we shouldn't super be upset with them until it happens. We don't know that it will happen.
Yeah, but, that's true.
Yes. Hopefully it won't at this point. But
genuinely hope. Well, that's the thing. I've had this fear of this for a while now.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the more time goes on, the more I lend credence to this theory that I don't want to see.
Yeah.
All right, so for our last tweet, also from Mo Fierce. Okay, so who's the third devil? It's got to be Chanel number one, right? I think we should ignore the logistics of who was where when. It'll be whoever the writers want it to be. I don't think that we should expect all the pieces to fit. Ryan Murphy's worlds are very nonlinear.
Yeah, I mean, that's giving them a lot of rope. I don't think, if there are a few plot holes here and there, I'm not going to be super upset. But if it was something like, oh, Boone was on the phone with the other killer, and then three is the other killer, but shows up right next to him, that would be too much of a twist for me. I think three has to be off the table at this point. I don't know as far as, like...
What do you think of number one? That's, like, directly what he's asking.
It just would be, like, kind of boring to me, I guess. I guess she would be a totally different person than we've seen this whole time, and haven't been a huge fan of who she's been this whole time.
Right.
But what do you think?
I'm, right now, in my mind, I'm trying to scan through all the times of, like, where was Chanel? I mean, I know that's the entire point of, like, ignoring where, when... I would be so disappointed if they don't make it make sense. Yeah. I mean, I'm willing to...
If there are, like, a few small moments where it's, like, iffy...
Where we're not sure how much time went between... Like, I'm willing to accept that Boone disappeared when he hit the ground, immediately.
Yeah.
Fine.
And I'm honestly willing to accept that maybe Five is still the killer, even though she was the one driving the car and reacted that way. Like, that wouldn't just be
that
super awful.
That wouldn't destroy me. Like, I wouldn't throw it out. Like, I'm not willing to throw it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So...
One probably has been in the right place at the right time most of the time. She also said she got attacked, but we didn't see her get attacked.
Well, what about on her wall where it was written, sluts will die?
But she could have just written that.
So, then why her be surprised about that?
Well, here's the thing. So, you know how you'd always talk about, like, things they show us we have to assume are real? But in this particular thing, it's her telling everybody the story of what happened. So in that particular scene, if it was one and she was, like, flat, because it's flashing back and her explaining what went down... Mm-hmm. I could buy that not actually having been what happened.
Unless it was, like, Gigi coming in and writing on her wall as a reminder of, like, sluts will die. Kill number two. I don't know.
And no matter who this person is, they're a great actor, so he could easily just, like, do that to frighten everybody else, you know. Like,
right.
It could be number one. Would have trouble finding it satisfying if it was number one. Though they're in a weird spot where if it had been either Dean Munch or Chanel, it would have been both obvious and not obvious at the same time. Because it's, like, so obvious that you assume that it isn't.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't...
Like, back in the days where we didn't want it to be Dean Munch, because of course it could be Dean Munch. Yeah.
And that's kind of how I still feel about Chanel, but I guess I would be surprised at this point if it was Chanel.
Yeah, I think I would be too. I mean, I feel like I threw her away as a potential suspect so long ago that reintroducing her is...
And in some ways, it's interesting that she's the one who told Grace about her mom. Like, if she was the killer, maybe sort of planting that seed, and if she was helping Gigi get Grace to an insane place, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's possible. It could be Chanel number one. And I think they could do it in a way that would make me satisfied. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
It would be hard, but I think they could do it.
They could do it.
Yeah.
I'm still doing the mental scroll for every episode that I can remember.
I'm trying to remember exactly what was going on when everybody was stuck in the house together and, like, who killed Sam and everything.
Right.
But that could also have been Boone. Oh, no, but... Why would Sam know it was Boone the whole time when he took the mask off?
Right.
Yeah, but that would make sense if it was one. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So then it can't be Melanie Dorcas, because how would she know about Melanie Dorcas?
Well, it could have been Boone.
It could have been.
Yeah. He sort of know Boone.
Yeah.
Maybe. But.
I mean, he could have still pretended to be, again, still pretending to be gay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
Gosh.
Well, now
as usual, we end the episode saying, well, we don't know.
But if you know, you can send us a tweet at ScreamPod on Twitter and follow us there for all the hip happening new Scream Queens news. And thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope it's not Pete.
bye, not Pete.
Bye, not Pete.
I don't know. As usual. Freaking no, I give up.